Welcome to Bearded Clansmen of the Veil, where two bearded guys talk about Game of Thrones, the card game. Sorry about this, everybody, but it seems like for the first about 14 minutes of this podcast, my mic is all echoey. There's not really a good way to fix this, but I still wanted to release, so if that does annoy you, just skip forward to about minute 14. We'll be a little bit way through the deck, but everything should be okay after that, and you can just follow along with the other cards later if you want, or something like that. Thanks for listening, and sorry again. Welcome back, everybody, to Bearded Clansmen of the Veil, a Game of Thrones LCG show. I am Kyle, son of Kyle.
And Shaggy Dom.
And today, we're going to rename ourselves to the Bearded Pirates of the Isles, because we're going to be talking about a deck that I built that Dom has helped me work through the problems with a little bit verbally, called What a Sneaky Fleet of Raiders from the Sea We Be. And it, of course, ends the custom. It's a House Greyjoy deck with Lord of the Crossing as the plot, or the agenda. So
yes.
So this is my entry into the possibly maybe running this for fun at Store Champs. Maybe it will work now, maybe it won't, but yeah, the whole idea for this deck, and we'll link the deck in the description so you can follow along with the podcast, but is I really liked when we went over the new Asha, that giving each of your Ironborn stealth is a really cool thing. So she's a part of it, and not just her, but just giving things stealth again made me feel like I should play Lord of the Crossing one more time, because that was a big part of Lord of the Crossing in the beginning, was kind of the like stealth nature of Greyjoy.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of go through the cards here, and we can talk about it. Since the deck is Ironborn, I put Aeron Damphyr in it, because Aeron, the core set one, he's Drowned God, Ironborn, and Lord. He's a 3-3 for with a power icon, so you're not getting much from him on terms of challenges, but you are getting to, after Dominance, put an Ironborn character into play from your dead pile. So you can recover some of those if you have the gold or the Dominance to do it.
Yeah, that's a decent card.
And since the deck revolves mostly around Ironborn, I figured having this guy in there is... he could have stealth, so he could be okay on like a first challenge, or he could just help out, you know, stealthing down some characters for like the power rush. And he's helping on Dominance too, so you don't have to kneel him to do it, so he can attack and then bring someone back if they die. So
yeah, exactly. I think it's a decent card.
The next one I did was 3 Asha Greyjoys from King of the Isles. So she's got Pillage Stealth, she's a Captain Ironborn Lady, only a Bicon, but she has 6 cost 5 strength. And it says each other unique Ironborn character you control gains stealth. So there's a lot in here that's pretty cool. She's giving all unique Ironborn characters stealth, so that's another Aeron. You're going to see a bunch of them in here that are going to get stealth just from her being on the board.
Yeah, so would you say she's the rock star of the deck?
I think she's a big part of the... She facilitates a lot of what the deck's trying to do. I mean, she's important. I do kind of miss the intrigue icon from, you know, the other Asha, but I'm hoping that the speed of the stealth and the Lord of the Crossing agenda will help mitigate some of that a little bit. And the pillage will just be helpful. So pillaging isn't really a huge part of this deck, but pillage is a mechanic for one of the cards in it that I think is good, which is Nighttime Raid. So that'll help with that. But she's in there trying to make it so like all your challenges can go unopposed, and it facilitates that really well, especially when you're doing things like... since Rise of the Kraken's in this deck, you might be able to like get some seriously big power swing turns with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Another one of my favorites from original Lord of the Crossing is Balon Greyjoy, so I threw him in again. He's an Ironborn Lord, he's got renown. And the really cool part about Balon was that when you use him with the Crossing on the third challenge, you get to do his like really cool ability, which makes it basically so a lot of the characters that are on board can't really contribute their strength to the challenge. So he gets that like kind of, you know, renown power, he gets the power from the power challenge, and he gets the swing power from, you know, the unopposed, and he gets the, I'm sorry, he gets the swing power from the power challenge, the unopposed power, and then he also gets the crossing power. So that's like a 4 power in one attack, right?
Yeah.
So it can be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he's a decent card, especially for the Lord of the Crossing agenda.
Yeah.
Use him on the third challenge. Not many characters are going to have, you know, above 7 strength anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some things in here. I put Iron Fleet Scouts in here just because that can help with Balon and other things like that. a little helpful for some of the other stuff in here too, like Relentless Assault. But the next card we have is Blackwind's Crew. So this is just a straight up like kind of toss in with a Bicon, 3 cost, 3 strength Bicon. It has the traits I want, which are Ironborn and Raider, and it's got Pillage on it, so it's putting a little Pillage pressure in the game. I ended up kind of getting rid of a lot of like the Pillage support in this deck because I felt like it was getting too mixed between Pillage and Stealth and Warships and Captains, so I just went for like a Stealth Warship thing. So these guys are in here as something I can drop for like Claim. It's not too expensive, something that's going to get a benefit from Nighttime Raid, and something that has Pillage on it.
Okay. Yeah, that seems... logical.
So the next one I have is Yurung's Crow's Eye. This is the one from King of the Isles, and one of the main reasons I put this guy in here was to pull Silence out as fast as I can. So you'll notice if you look in the deck with us, you'll see there's only one copy of Silence, and the main reason is because this Yurung is just going to pull it out as soon as you marshal him. And Euron's a Tricon with 4 strength, so not very strong, but you have those 3 icons you need for Lord of the Crossing, and that's good. And so he's a lord, so he's a reducer. He can be reduced with not with anything I have, but he's 6 plus strength, which will go for Ocean Road. I made so many iterations of this deck, I forget what's in it sometimes, but he's got Intimidate, which is all right in this deck. It's not super super big, but it's kind of cool that he lets you pull out Silence, because Silence is a pretty big part of like making the locations in this deck work. So
yeah, I also like the fact of you have Asha out, he has Stealth.
That's good too.
As well.
Yeah, and especially with the 3 icons, yeah.
And then, Silence works well with him. If you're able to put out another warship, you can stand him. So you can get 2 challenges off with him.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was hoping there is, like, when he comes out, Silence just comes with him. So that's really nice. And so you get to do a lot of, like, kind of combo stuff where you can kind of get those second challenges that you might not normally get. Or you can get those, like, 2 challenges from one character.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime you can get multiple challenges with one character is always good.
Yeah. Next one I have is one I kind of, like, threw in here that could probably get removed, but I like it a lot, which is Hagen's Daughter. So Hagen's Daughter is kind of fun because it returns the shadows when it dies, and it's nice for, like, mill claims and stuff like that when you're just trying to, like, you're trying to sit there and you're not really sure, you're not getting a lot of what you need for, like, your, kind of chumps, and Hagen's Daughter's, like, the chump for all your mill claims, so. That's pretty much only why it's in here. I mean, it is an Ironborn, so you get to pull it back with Aeron if she does die, actually, somehow. And you get to use Stealth on her, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's a good card. I don't know if I necessarily put 2 copies in, but, yeah, I think it's a good card.
Yeah, I'm still building, like, I have trouble building because sometimes I'm like, I want to see this, so I have to absolutely put a 3 in. In this game, you don't actually want to do, you probably don't want to have as many copies as some of the cards that I have in here, but it's mostly just so you can have all 3 icons in most cases. But Hagen's Daughter is definitely one you could pull down to 1, probably.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, especially with your agenda, you want all 3 icons on the board.
Yeah.
As much as you can, so.
Fishmonger is the next card. There's 3 of those just for chump and for reduction. That's pretty much it there. That's just help econ. The Lord of the Crossing deck kind of suffers when it comes to money. I'm hoping that some of the stuff I put in here will mitigate that. You have like Iron Islands Fishmonger being one of those cards. So
yeah, and it just helps you get your pieces put out on the board faster.
Yep,
which that's what you want for the crossing agenda. So.
Next one I have is kind of an include just because of the icon, and I don't really mind as ability, but I would hesitate using it if I actually needed a 3rd challenge. But Lord Support Shipwright is the intrigue icon, 2 cost, 1 strength, Ironborn, and ally, so it will get stealth when Asha's out, and it can kneel to, choose a kneel location of 2 or 3 of your first player cost.
Did you just say that they will get stealth?
No, I meant to say they wouldn't get stealth, but I keep forgetting that it's only unique characters. But yeah, so this one is purely there just for the intrigue icon. I don't know how often I'll be using its ability, but if I need to, it's great, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Neil Fleabottom. Any day.
Any day. So the next one is a new card that I haven't actually tested, and it's kind of a half include because of the icon, but I also really ended up liking the effect on it. It's Maester Immune Mirror. It's cost 3, 2 strength, intrigue, and power. It's a maester,
And when the triggered ability of a location would initiate, you can meal Mirror Mirror to cancel those effects. So I'm pretty sure you can use this to cancel wall and things like that, which is pretty brutal on some against some decks. Yeah. So it's good in that, right? And it's also good because it's got an icon on it that I want.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the idea of just having that on the board with the interrupt being more impactful than using him for the intrigue icon.
Mm-hmm. Most cases, sure. I'm hoping so too. Like that, I don't have to use him for intrigue, but it's a yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just need it to push through it, you know, you have that option. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad card. I think it's a good addition.
Yeah. The next one I have is called, it's one of the new ones, it's Orcmont Reaver. It's a pretty straightforward Vicon, 2-cost, 1-strength, Ironborn Raider with Pillage. And if 10 or more cards in your discard pile, it gains Stealth. I don't really care about that last part, I'm just more happy that it's got Pillage and it's an Ironborn and a Raider. I mean, it's gonna basically there for the 2-cost Chump Fodder and for Nighttime Raid if I need to push mm-hmm. through for a challenge, so.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an alright. It's like you said, it's a chump claim.
Yeah, this one isn't here because it's here because I can put it out really easily and not have to commit a lot of resources to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The next one I got is the Knight. I'm actually kind of interested to see how this card works. I'm not really sure how it's going to work, but it doesn't have the traits I want. It has a 5-cost, 5-strength bicon, which is pretty straightforward and good. No attachments except for weapons, so it protects itself a little bit from some of the stuff you might not want to see. And while it's attacking alone, it gains stealth and renown. So that's good because in some cases you might want to just... In Lord of the Crossing, you want to like kind of... This is true about most of the game, but in Lord of Crossing specifically, you have to be very careful with how many you're committing to certain challenges and because you need to get all three off. So anytime you can use one character to get the job done, you're in better hands. This is exactly why in two cards we're going to talk about Theon is in the deck. But this guy having Renown is pretty sweet when he attacks alone, because in most cases I'm like thinking that he's going to stealth somebody down and attack alone and that's fine and gets Renown. And if he doesn't, then you know he still fulfilled the challenge that he needed to and probably took someone out or helped out, because he's got 5 strength still.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a decent card. I haven't had a chance to play with it, but I can see it being, you know, pretty cool.
The only thing I don't like about him is he's unique but doesn't have Ironborn, and that's the only downside, and that's why I pulled him down to 2, is because I kind of want more of those ones. The Reader is pretty much just a solid, like, utility intrigue icon card. I mean, he's not going to get any of the bonuses from stealthing, but he is an intrigue icon, and he's pretty solid if you can get his effect off, because you can be drawing cards, or you can be milling cards. But the nice part is his trigger happens regardless of if he was participating or not, as long as a unique character was participating. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and with all the other Ironborn getting stealth, it's going to be kind of easy for you to be able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. And that'll feed into a lot of good draw or like maybe some mill if I need to do that. I don't know why I'd need to use the second one that often, but the first thing is really good. Drawing that card is really solid.
Yeah, drawing cards is always good.
And then the final character, and there's probably a few fewer characters than I need in here, but I'm going to have to deal with that, is Theon Greyjoy. He's the one from Fall of Astapor, so while he attacks alone, each character with higher strength than him does not contribute strength to the challenge. So Theon's the guy you throw in when you're doing the first challenge of Lord of the Crossing, and almost nobody can block him. So he gets unopposed, he gets the power from the unopposed, and you have to trigger any of your unopposed things that you get to do. And since he's got that military icon, if you are running things that I'm not running, you can benefit from that, but I'm not running that, so which is the Seastone Chair.
Yeah, definitely. I just see him as a, a really good, even for the power.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a 2-claim plot, throwing mm-hmm. that one strength power challenge.
Yeah, right. And he's super solid with Rise of the Kraken, which is like your finishing plot in this deck. You got the 2 mm-hmm. claim, you got the 2 power gain instead of 1 on unopposed, and you get his just ability to like lower his own strength from the Lord of the Crossing lowers his strength. So you're getting like a 4 power swing when Theon attacks in turn 1 of Lord of the Crossing. So that's mm-hmm. that's really good. I mean, you only need 15 to win, and that's a 1/4 of it ish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of
a good card for this deck. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the kind of gimmick here is like, what can I throw in that will help me get my locations out? What can I throw in that will save me from having to sack my key pieces, right? So a lot of like the characters that are on the side are there so they can be claimed for military or they can be killed instead of other things. I'm trying to keep dupes high on cards I want to keep, so that's why I have three copies of ones that I really want. And you'll see when we get into the attachments and stuff like that, and the locations and events, or not the attachments, but the locations and events that like I have probably more protection than I need, but I don't really want to lose the characters that I want to have.
We all don't want to lose the characters.
Yeah, but like Greyjoy can protect them in a way that's like kind of unfounded in other factions. Like they have a lot of like doesn't die. But so our attachments, and this is something I appreciate Dom talking to me about, because I was running Little Bird. And because that was kind of the stock one you'd run for a long time when you needed intrigue icons. But Dom pointed out that Appointed is just kind of a better card. And I'll let you explain why. And I agree with you now. But I'm going to let you explain why.
You are low on your intrigue icons, as this graph here shows. is one, the Little Bird is a condition attachment, which... You know, first thing I think of is like Maester Creston or any other Maesters running the Maester chain. You know, you kneel the Maester character, discard a condition attachment. Now, Appointed is a title attachment, so they can't just go ahead and kneel a character to discard the attachment. So it's going to take them a little bit more work to get the attachment off your character.
Yeah. And it is unique only, but I'm okay with that because a lot of the times the unique characters are the ones who are going to benefit most from having a second or third icon. So, yeah, so I ended up switching that out with Little Bird. They cost the same, and again, one's just a condition, and the other one has a title and is more limited on what it can go on, but I'm okay throwing it on, you know, any of the ones that don't have an intrigue, like Balon, Asha, you know, stuff like that.
So. Put it on a character that you can re-stand. Of course, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so that was attachments. There's only one. I was tempted to run, like, the Red Ruin or whatever the sword was. And, you know, I really wanted to run, like, King of... So with the Pillage... I started off building this deck as Pillage, but that's why I was going to do King of Rock and Salt and all this other stuff. But I ended up taking almost every attachment out because I needed room for all the locations and the characters I wanted to run. And I actually kind of want to play events in this deck, which is interesting because Greyjoy, I don't think Greyjoy plays many events usually, but they've started coming out with events that Greyjoy can afford to play, so that's nice. The first location is going to be two Great Halls. So Great Hall is a great reducer, especially for, you know, the cost curve of this deck being like pretty high on 5 and 6s. That means I'm going to get a lot of econ out of just Great Hall being out. It is limited, so it's competing, but the only other thing it's competing with is going to be Rose Road, I believe. So I think that's going to be pretty good because most of the other stuff is going to be able to happen regardless of, you know, they're going to compete with each other, which is only 5 out of 20 cards that would be out. So
yeah, exactly.
The next one's Great Kraken. So that one gives Balon Stealth, which is pretty cool. And actually, I play Great Kraken more for the second ability than the first. After you win an unopposed challenge, either draw one card or gain one power for your faction. This is one of those things that the gaining the power for your faction up to 2 times a round is pretty sweet. It's the rush mechanic. Or if you need to, you can fill your hand up too after a draw. Maybe you had to use something like Pintashi or something that you had a low reserve or doesn't let you draw any cards and you need to fill back up. So this is one of my favorite ships because it's just a solid like double reaction per round ability.
Yeah, I like the Great Kraken a lot.
Next, we got Iron Fleet Scouts. Iron Fleet Scouts are just there to push challenges, and they're free. So they go out for 0. They're just there because they're probably there a little bit more because of the remnant of what I was doing before, but I'm a big fan of Iron Fleet Scouts because usually you're going to go first as Greyjoy. So plus 2 strength isn't something to scoff at.
No, especially when you have, like, Balon and stuff.
And with this Euron having Intimidate, it actually kind of puts a new kind of twist in here where Euron usually has Intimidate, I believe, or Victarion does, but it's nice to be able to kind of pump that a little bit if you need to.
Yeah, and just, you know, making your opponent think like, oh, they're gonna activate the Iron Fleet Scout or not, and so, you know, make them kind of think about how much they want to defend or not.
Yeah, yeah. And most games actually don't end up using Iron Fleet Scout. They just sit there and sit there ready and cause people not to block. So.
Oh, I use mine every time. I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair. And this deck, actually, like, I probably will be using it.
Action.
Yeah, we'll probably be using it more because of Relentless Assault being in here, but we can talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Iron Mines is the next one because Greyjoy, that's not really that hard to understand. I mean, it's good. Raiding Longships. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, a location to save a character. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's going in. The next one, this is one that Dom kind of talked me into too, and I kind of regret not putting this in the beginning, but it's Raiding Longships. This one's going to help push the agenda. Not necessarily the agenda. It's going to help push Unopposed, but that's good because that's swing. That's rush, you know. If you're the first player, kneel Raiding Longships to choose a defending character without attachments. The character does not contribute strength to this challenge. So this is pretty good against, you know, most like knights that can't have anything but weapons. Most like, you know, Knight's Watch and things like that. But it's just a really good card to kind of have another one that just sits there until you need it, and then it becomes a real pain in the ass for your opponent.
Yeah, exactly. And my main thing was I was thinking is the mechanics with silence. You have silence out, you know, you do your challenge, say with Euron, you do your intrigue, whatever, they defend with one character, you react silence, throw this in, then you do your action, remove their strength from the challenge. And so then you got an unopposed with your intimidate, and then you get to restand Euron because of silence ability. It's just one thing after another kind of thing. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, that's good actually. And in hindsight, I'll probably shift these locations around a little bit too, just because I think I really want to throw in one or two of the other, like Maiden's Bane or like the golden ship that I can't remember the name of right now, one of those two, because they're pretty sweet as well. And they combo so well with silence being out, like it's disgusting. But let's not talk about those. Raiding Longships are there because they're good, and I definitely overlooked them the first time I built it. Refurbished Hulk's a new one. I'm kind of excited to see. It gives uncommon initiative, so with this and silence out and some of the really high initiative cards, you're probably going to be going first, which is really what this deck likes to do. So when I played this deck successfully, what would happen is I would go first, and not this deck, but decks like it, I would go first and do everything I needed to do, and my opponent would be kind of be left just like, you know, jaw dropped a little bit, because like I don't really, a lot of the cards in here are to defend against a lot of the bad things my opponent can do. Because once you have your board set up with Lord of the Crossing, you really don't have to worry about a lot except for, like, mass clear stuff, right? And so, like, this card is helpful in terms of making sure you can always go first, so you can always get through, like, what you need to do before your opponent can really do anything to react or mess with you during their challenge phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and income's good, and standard income's good. You can't blink that. So.
No, exactly. So, I think it's a good card. And it's a warship, so...
Yeah.
You can flop it in for free.
Yeah. I'm hoping to do that as much as possible. So, Sea Tower's our next one. Sea Tower's just a reducer. It's a reducer location, but it hits non-characters, which I like, so...
Yeah, just a great Greyjoy card.
Yep. Silence is the one that we have one copy of, because we're hoping to, you know... We're only going to have it out when... I'm hoping to never, ever pay for this card, so... Yeah, so...
When you think about it, this is actually technically an econ card as well.
Yeah.
You know.
100%. So. Yeah, because you're just putting stuff in for free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's challenge phase speed, which is really, really slick. The last one I have is Rose Road, and this is the one that I'm thinking about maybe just pushing out. It was there before I switched to the Great Halls. This card was purely there for econ. And since we have a lot more econ as we're talking through it than I thought I did, I think I might switch these out for some more, either some more characters or some more locations. So probably more characters. But it's Rose Road. I mean, everybody knows Rose Road. Everybody who's playing him. Everybody plays him. One income. And then we have our seven events. And these seven events are kind of like going to help us do what we want to do. So Risen from the Sea is a card that saves your characters. So that's just a free card that saves your character, and they get strength, which is pretty helpful. Nighttime Raid is another card that I kind of this and Asha and a few of the other cards in the deck are cards that I specifically wanted to keep in this deck when I was building it. So, you know, you choose up to three characters with Pillage, Ender, Raider, and you each of those characters gain stealth. So anything that Asha can't hit, you're going to use this on to make sure that your challenges go through unopposed.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's pretty standard, one cost. It's great. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it could be a really good card.
And that is also going to help us do the next card, which is Relentless Assault. So after you win a challenge by five or more strength as the attacking player, kneel your faction card. Then you may initiate an additional challenge of that type this phase. So if I didn't overlook anything, this is the only card in my deck that will kneel my faction card. And so I think that's it. But that's the whole point of this, in this and Coordinated Attack and like are kind of there to mitigate the lack of intrigue icons. So these cards coming out are things that like make it so you can do a two different challenge type Lord of the Crossing deck instead of having to have all three icons, right? So if you can get a Relentless Assault off on your like second challenge with all the stealth you have, then you can run a second power challenge and do even more, right? Especially if you can stand somebody or if you can do anything like that where you can kind of get off a second challenge with one of those characters that can sweep four power. You've got an eight power in a turn. That's not trivial for the cost of zero.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, I think it's good. Let's talk about your plots.
Sure thing. So Coordinated Attack was specifically one I put in here because I like that you had it in your deck last week, and it helps with the problem of only having two, like basically centering around two icons, right?
I did?
I thought you did. Maybe it was a different deck. But after you win a challenge as the attacking player, choose a different challenge type. You can initiate an additional challenge of the chosen type this phase. So if you do power first with Theon, you do military. If you do military first, you do power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty sweet. So you get all three of your challenges on icons that you have and are good at using and can use effectively. It's got eight initiatives, so you're going to go first. But the plot's a little, or the income's a little low, reserve's a little low. But again, if you know you're going to need it, this card is perfect for trying to get through like the two icon three challenge problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you only have like, in your case, probably military and power
mm-hmm.
on the board. So yeah, it definitely helps, you know, triggering that third challenge.
The next one I got is kind of a holdover. Counting Coppers is something that makes me feel good when I put it in a plot deck because not a lot of Greyjoy cards let you draw. There is that card that his name is what is it called? You have it. You like, we talked about it. His name is Reek. It rhymes with Meek. That's what I'm thinking of. The one that lets you draw on Greyjoy now. But I didn't want to overflow with too many events that are letting us draw since we have Great Kraken and stuff like that. But if you have Great Kraken, if you don't have Great Kraken, or you can't get out one of the cards that does let you draw, like Reader, you can use Counting Coppers to kind of fill your hand up. That's the main point here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through these in a different order than they're listed because I want to save some of them for the end. But Trade Routes is in here because you have a lot of locations and it can make you a lot of money. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Would you say this is more of a, like, you put this plot first, mid, or towards the end game?
I'd say like this is like a post board wipe plot for me, because most of the time unless someone's playing like, what is it, Political Disaster,
mm-hmm.
you're really gonna have a lot of locations out regardless of your characters. So like, you know, it's nice to be able to refill your gold to play your hand that you're gonna get. So you could like, this would be like a follow-up after like a Counting Coppers, after like a board wipe state maybe,
mm-hmm.
where you can like, you have your hand full, now you can play all the stuff you need to play and set your board up again. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, this one is either right at the beginning if you set up like a bunch of locations and you need money, or after a board wipe and you've set up your hand.
Okay.
And again, the only reason I play Trade Routes is because I've seen success with it before in 22 location count decks.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's you're guaranteed to get at least 15 gold.
Yeah, right? Especially with so many non-unique locations like Iron Fleet Scouts, Iron Mines, Raiding Longship, Refurbished Hulk, Sea Tower. The majority of those locations are like all non-unique, so they all stack for an additional gold. The next one is going to be trading with a Pentashi, and this one, again, is just a money card. With my Econ in the deck, I might be able to get rid of either trade routes or trading, and I'd probably get rid of trading first just because it gives my opponent a bonus, and maybe replace this with something that's a little bit more offensive, or a Clash of Kings, or something that's going to, you know, be another two-claim plot, or something that gets me more power for power challenges, because that's kind of the whole point of what we're trying to do, is to, when we can, initiate multiple challenges of the same type with the cards that we have. So this, again, is just a straight Econ plot. It's hopefully like one of the ones you play like turn one, and you just drop like Balon and someone else with your reducers, and then you have like a good board state. Maybe let you play an appointed or something like that to get one of the icons you need out. Mm-hmm. We Take Restoros is the one I wanted to try because it looks really cool and it's new. It's 5 income, 9 initiative, 1 claim plot. Those three numbers are pretty solid on their own. Reserve 6 is great. But it lets you choose a location in a discard pile and put it into play under your control. So, you know, this is one that you can be used offensively on both sides, right? You could pick someone's wall and start scoring on it if they didn't have control of it yet, or you milled it before they could hit it. You could take one of your locations that have been, you know, maybe killed by another thing or something like that. You could put them back out. So, and the fact that it has 5 income on it is also really high. Like, that's a really high plot with a high initiative. High income plot with high initiative, so...
Yeah, it's a good plot.
Any thoughts on that? I know you have like a lot of feelings about that whole Wind Revealed ability, and I want to hear them.
I really like this plot. Why I say that is like, I just played a game not too long ago, and I had to meet reserve, and you know, I had to discard a card, so I was like, well, you know, I got We Take Restoros, so I'm just gonna go ahead and discard my Great Kraken, and just put him in for free. And still get my 5 income, so technically it became an eight gold plot,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. So did it for free. Another thing you could do is say if you have silence and you don't want to pay for it,
yeah,
and you don't have Euron, you don't want to wait, just go ahead, discard it, put in We Take Restoros, put it in for free, and then just go to town.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty solid, especially with the build of this deck and how most opponents are going to play locations. I mean, that's what you do.
Well, yeah, and this plot doesn't just limit you on your discard pile. Like, that's another thing I like about it, is if your opponent has something that would really work in your favor at the current situation, then you have that option of taking it from them.
Yep. Yeah, so that part probably works a little better when you're doing things like playing with the new guy who lets you discard location when you pillage it, or, you know, hitting on Asha or any of the, like, the Raiding of the Bay of Ice type stuff, you know?
And like you said, like, if you took the wall or something, so say you take the wall, they draw into another one, they cannot play that wall because you have control over it.
Mm-hmm. Which is where, like, the pillage in this deck is small, but it can help facilitate something like that, where you lock them out of their win con, or their, like, mm-hmm. their, like, passive win condition. Like, Chamber of the Painted Table is the same way. If you play one of theirs, they won't be able to play theirs, and that means they're not just going to sit there as Baratheons do and just win dominance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you can't win with it, if they have, like, an Iron Throne or something, you're still making it so they're not getting that extra power every turn from it.
Yeah, there's a location from every house that, you know, you can really benefit from.
Mm-hmm. The last plot is You Win or You Die. And it's a 5 income, 8 initiative, 2 claim plot. So you're getting money, you get initiative, you get claim, you get to draw 2 cards. But the downside is your reserve becomes 0. So you play them or you lose them, you know. But mm-hmm. it's kind of another finisher. Like, if you had to use Rise earlier and you maybe need to seal the deal, this is one of those ones where, like, you could get, like, a Theon power challenge and swing 2. Like, that's good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have Relentless Assault and you have the right cards on a second challenge, you can get, you know, a bunch of extra power on your second power challenge. There's just a lot of stuff you can do with this card that makes it so you're probably not going to play it, you know, until you're ready to play it.
Yeah, it's definitely a finisher plot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you just don't have any cards in hand,
yeah,
you're like, screw it, I just need 2 claim.
Well, yeah, 2 claim is good. I mean, 2 military claim is fantastic. Theon on 2 military claim means A, they have less people to block with. B, they have less people to challenge with during their phase. It's got 8 initiatives, so you're going to go first, most likely, right? And so you get all the benefits of going first. It's just, there's a lot of things here that, like, yeah, I'm excited to see if this card works, because it is pretty kind of final, and it feels very, like, Greyjoy to me. But so, yeah, that's the deck. It was, I went through a few iterations, but I think there's still some more work we can do on it. I think Dom and I are going to test it a little bit and kind of see what we feel about it. Maybe trade some stuff and figure out what we need to do to make it a little more competitive. I don't really know yet how we can talk in maybe another episode where we do a little follow-up, how it would test against like the other meta decks like we did against your deck. I think against some decks it would be really kind of solid because you just have your one thing you do and you just protect against a lot of other stuff. Other times, like, I don't think it would work very well against a discard deck right now because I think you just hit your pieces too soon and you wouldn't be able to get them all out. But anyway, I think your good opening hands to just kind of finalize since we're going long would be making sure you have like Asha or like a pretty big Bicon that you can put out first turn, and maybe some of your econ locations. An appointed wouldn't be bad if you couldn't get that second icon from your characters, and then maybe two or three of the locations. Probably Great Kraken would be good on turn one if you could have it. Getting a Euron out, getting a Euron in your opening hand would be pretty good, I think, because then you could start silencing the whole game.
Yeah, you don't want to do it on setup. No, you're on setup.
No. But having him in your opening hand could be okay because
you
set up everything else, hopefully, and then pop down him with one of your big expensive plots. So
yeah, exactly.
And this is one of those decks where I'm hoping that the setup is something where you get to play like 4 to 5 of your cards. That's why there's a lot of like zero cost stuff in the location suite. And some pretty cheap ones from the characters. And there's a lot of dupes for uniques. So getting a lot of those cards out of your hand means you get to see more of your deck faster. And I found that to be a benefit in these kind of speed decks. In most decks, I guess.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually doing test hands here right now. And it's not looking too bad. So you know, you're averaging between 4 and 5 cards set up.
Yeah,
isn't bad at all.
Yeah, I just had one with, like, Asha, you know, your Raiding Longship, Iron Mine, and Great Hall, and then 2 Knights and another Great Hall. And then you into your third icon, and then another Iron Mine. So I could run with that.